Are you ready to change the life of a child today? Many children right in your community need loving homes. For over 40 years, Remy Vista has been providing for the needs of at-risk children by giving them the opportunity for a new start and a better future through foster care. We offer training, professional social workers, and financial support so that you can change the life and the future of a child in your home. For more information, call 893-4784. Become a part of the Remy Vista family. That's 893-4784. 4784. Kathy's Sew and Vac is Chico's sewing machine and vacuum authority, specializing in parts, sales, and service. Family owned and operated for over 35 years, Kathy's Sew and Vac has a huge inventory and knowledgeable staff to take care of all of your sewing and vacuum needs. Stop by Kathy's Sew and Vac today on Cohasset Road across from Kmart. That's Kathy's Sew and Vac, Chico's sewing machine and vacuum authority.
Did you know one out of three Chico households has unwanted junk? Junk can start out as a small problem, but as it grows, it can become a real health hazard. Don't drown in a pile of your own garbage.
Call Junk King today.
888-888-JUNK. That's 888-888-5865. When you think junk removal, remember Junk King. Call today. 888-888-JUNK.
Mention this ad for $25 off any load or $50 off a full load.
Junk King.
And Andy's Bullseye Repair.
Specializing in auto glass repair from bullseyes to full glass replacement. All insurance and major credit cards accepted. Call for a free estimate at 877-7387. 877-7387.
Welcome to the big show.
He could go all the way.
The North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
When you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Is there a heaven? Oh, yeah. It's the place dreams come true.
On KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
Hello, everybody. Sometimes, you know, I like politics. I like talking about politics, economics. I like sports. I like all kinds of things. But I'm one of the few people, I think, in the world, at least I think I am, but anyway, that really likes good theology discussions. And you know, we are a Christian radio station, and sometimes we get off that tangent. But I think our best shows are the ones when we really focus on deep theology. And I think we're going to do that today. We're going to talk about Genesis with an expert in Genesis. Two, actually, but one in particular. Mary Lervold, she wrote the book Reign of the Watcher. She was on the show a couple of weeks ago. It's just a fascinating discussion with her. And also Pastor Donald Jordan, certainly an expert on the Bible as well, from Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Gosh, I don't want to get long in the introductions because I'm always fascinated when we have these type of discussions because I learn so much. You're an expert in Genesis, and we talked about that in your interest in it. So let's just delve right into Genesis and some of the fascinating aspects of it. What is the point of Genesis? What are we learning when we read Genesis? There's so much history and so much information. What are the key three or four points we need to take away from Genesis?
Oh, okay, first of all, I would like to say one thing, and that is I'm not an expert. I remember the old definition of expert being X is an unknown quantity and a spurt is a drip under pressure. And it kind of troubles me.
Is it fair to say you're a scholar in it?
Well, I have studied it, and I've done research, not any more than anyone else that can open a Bible.
Well, you've done more than I have, and I opened the Bible. So in my eyes, you're an expert. So,
enthusiast.
You're enthusiastic about it. Okay. So anyway, with that caveat, Mary, what is it about Genesis that should Christians take away from that the most? What are the things that are most interesting about it?
I think most important about Genesis, of course, is that this is really what God said. This is the Word of God. It's not something, it's not myth, it's not imagination, it's not a story that's been passed down and maybe tweaked and altered along the way. It's really the revealed Word of God. And that, and also something to keep in mind, if that was the only book we had, even the three first chapters, if that was the only word of God we had, we would know how to be saved. Mm-hmm. I mean, the way, salvation is there in the first three chapters. the sin, first sin of mankind, you know, what God did at the creation, creating everything, creating us, and us falling away, and the promise that he gave.
Well, but we didn't have forgiveness of sins, or did we not? Did we have forgiveness of sins back then? Was there a way for us to atone for our sins without Christ's sacrifice?
Well, yeah, the way of salvation was laid out right there, and it's because of that first promise in Genesis 3:15. You know, Pastor, you read that last week, too, you know, where, and I've got it. Also, this time, and this is the New English version of it. I hadn't read it in this version until just recently. But it says, "And I will put hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. Her offspring will attack your head, and you will attack her offspring's heel." And the context of this is the curse, part of the curse, that God was issuing on Satan, the serpent in the garden who tempted Eve to sin. So he's saying, he's talking about the serpent, the hostility between the serpent and the woman, and the woman's seed. And that was the first promise. That was the thing that Adam and Eve could hang on to and say, you know, we believe that God promised the seed of the woman, a descendant who is going to save us from this curse, who's going to crush the enemy's head, who's going to defeat the enemy. Mm-hmm. And that was the
I see. So in other words, the one who created sin, well, man created sin because he who's responsible for sin? Is it man, or do we blame the fallen angel, Lucifer, who becomes Satan? Who is it fault for sin?
Well, Satan fell first. I mean, he'd already fallen from heaven and taken a third of the angels with him, mm-hmm, before the fall. We don't know how much time between creation, you know, the finish of creation, and between that and the fall, the first sin. Man is responsible for sinning. I mean, he disobeyed God's word, and death is the consequence. And Pastor, he can really speak very thoroughly on this point.
Well, we go to Romans 5, for example, and there Scripture says, just as sin came into the world through one man. So man is to blame. Even though Satan fell, the fallen angel, and tempted man, you and I are accountable for our sin. So sin came into the world through Adam, and that's a historic fact again, and there's the benefit and the value of the book of Genesis. What it says is true. When we look at the human condition, we want to know why the world is the way it is today, why we're sinners, why we're fallen. We can go right back to Genesis, right back to the beginning. To me, that's fascinating. So I would agree with Mary on the historicity, the authority of the Word of God back in Genesis, and I believe there's great value in that. We just did a Bible study, well, a few years ago, on Genesis 1 through 5. We didn't get to chapter 6, which is Mary's particular interest, by the way. And I would characterize her as having a keen interest in Genesis 6 and that whole thing of the sons of God, the wickedness, and so on, the giants, the Nephilim, and all that. That's a very intriguing few verses there. And it's kind of bizarre in a lot of ways. It happened, it's true, but maybe we can delve into that a little bit after this coming break, Barry.
It goes way too fast. We need to get you here for a week to talk, Mary, because there's so much we want to discuss with you. The book is called Reign of the Watchers. It's written by Mary Lervold, and you can find it on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, ChristianBook.com, and signed copies available at Kathy's Books in Paradise. Reign of the Watchers. We'll be back with Mary and Pastor Donald Jordan right after this timeout. Jerry O'Lennon here for ABC Books. If you're looking to save money and get quality new and used books, try ABC Books in Chico. They're at the corner of East and Cohasset near Walgreens. Stop in, say hi to their friendly staff. They can show you how you can save 50 to 90% off new and used books. You never know what hidden gems you may find there. Call ABC Books today at 893-4342. 893-4342. ABC Books, where saving money is as easy as ABC. As parents, we know there are many options for the education of our children. Champion Christian School has been in our community since 1991 and is now located at 5850 Clark Road in Paradise. Champion Christian School is fully accredited, offering quality academic and athletic programs for grades 7 through 12. Champion Christian School is supported by your contributions. To make a donation, call 413-9802, 413-9802, or visit them online at championcs.org.
Welcome to our show.
I'm Scott Olwin.
I'm Ben Taney.
I'm Jerry O'Lennon.
I'm Richard Hoyt Jr.
Join us each weekday at 12:30 p.m. for our show, Chico Now.
A half hour designed for the community and brought to you by the community.
Each day, one of our hosts will join with people from organizations throughout the greater Chico area.
We want to let you know what's happening in Chico now.
So join us at 12:30, Monday through Friday, here on KKXX for Chico Now.
Hi, this is your friend Steve Michaels inviting you to join me for a journey through the 20th century on The Afternoon Harvest, weekday afternoons from 3 until 6 p.m. on 104.5 FM and 930 AM, KKXX, Life Radio.
This is Live Local Talk.
All right, we're continuing our discussion with Pastor Donald Jordan and author Mary Learvold, Reign of the Watchers. Her book could be found in Kathy's Books in Paradise, Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, ChristianBook.com, a local author who's made it big with this book. It's a novel, Reign of the Watchers, based on stories in Genesis. But remind me where we were at, Pastor.
Well, we were going into the whole aspect of sin, Jerry, here, and how sin came into the world. And Mary was alluding to the first promise of the gospel in Genesis 3:15, which I think is very important. We're only concentrating on the bad news right here, mm-hmm. the introduction of Satan, who came as a serpent, the wily one. The book of Revelation actually tells us and identifies the serpent as Satan. One thing I do want to say, we were talking earlier about the book of Revelation, which is really interesting, which is the last book in the Bible, and we're today centering on the first book of the Bible, and we can call them bookends because they are very, very similar. We were even discussing the aspect of Christ coming into the world, and when Christ came, he referred to Genesis all over the place in the Gospels. The other day I had a conversation with a lady who said, Pastor, I got to tell you, Jesus never condemned homosexuality. And I said, I beg your pardon. Have you read in Matthew 19, I'm stuck on Genesis here, but in Matthew 19, Jesus said, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, etc. So I use that as an argument saying Jesus went back to Genesis. God made male and female, and he affirmed that marriage is only between a man and a woman.
Were there ever times where Jesus said, disregard what you read in the Old Testament? I remember something about an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I'm telling you, etc. Are there any instances where Jesus says, I uphold everything that's in the Old Testament, or were there situations where he said, disregard? Because Jesus had the opportunity plenty of times to say, you know that stuff in Leviticus, you know that stuff in Genesis about this, this, and this, forget about it, it's all wrong. He had that opportunity, and to the best of our knowledge, he never said anything like that. So he basically upheld it. It'd be like a judge upholding previous law, right? I mean, he's not changing it, so it still exists.
He said he came to fulfill the law. He came to fulfill it for us. He upheld it. He followed the law. He was circumcised. He went to the temple. He offered the sacrifices. He did everything as a bar mitzvah, as a son of the covenant. He fulfilled the Father's law perfectly. The problem he had was with the Pharisees, who, by the way, did not believe in homosexuality either, and they never argued about that. They upheld the Ten Commandments. Their problem was they went beyond the Word of God and added human tradition to it, and that's what he was wrangling with them over salvation, because they wanted to be saved by the works of the law. Jesus said, I fulfilled all this for you. I'm the righteous one. I will justify you by my blood on the cross. But going then to Revelation, just to end this a little bit too, is you have the rainbow around the throne of God in the book of Revelation, which is reminiscent of the rainbow given to Noah after the flood as a sign of the covenant and God's pleasure upon his creation, that he said he will never destroy it again. And one thing we have to remember, Mary would agree with this, creation is a gift of God. Being male and female is a gift of God. Unborn life is a gift of God. The goodness of this world is filled with the goodness of God. We see it every day. Last Sunday, we sang this beautiful hymn, Praise to the Lord, the King of Creation. Creation is beautiful, but it's been tainted by sin.
Mary, do we hear about Jesus in Genesis? Do we know that Jesus is there? A lot of people, I think, believe that, well, Jesus wasn't around. There was just God, and that was it, and Jesus wasn't around. Where is Jesus in Genesis?
Well, reference to Jesus would be the seed of the woman that would defeat Satan. That's definite. That's an indirect, not by name. But there is an instance when later on in Genesis, when Abraham, before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham was visited by three men, two of which were angels. One is understood by theologians to have been the physical form of God or the human form of God, which would be, what is the name? Not Protoevangelium. That's the...
Well, it would be the pre-incarnate Christ.
Right, and there's a Latin word for that, and it escapes me right now, which, you know, theologians refer to that. But he that is, and it distinguished by, you know, Abraham bowing down, you know, the worship. We're not supposed to worship angels, period. But there are a few instances, not just in Genesis, but in the Old Testament, where they, you know, it's the pre-incarnate Christ. It's interesting also, and this isn't a book that's in our canon, but the Book of Enoch refers to repeatedly, there are several different sections, the Son of Man in heaven, you know, by next to the throne of God. I mean,
so Jesus was there from the beginning of time.
And may I also say, if you go back even further, at the beginning of creation, God said, "Let us make man in our image." It's plural. So that's a reference to the Holy Trinity then, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And John chapter 1 tells us the Word was there in the beginning, the Word was with God, and by the Word all things were made. And that Word in John 1 is Jesus. So he definitely was there.
I'm going to wrap things up. I'm going to have a question I've always wondered about. What happened to those who passed away before Christ came to earth and atoned for our sins? Do they sit in limbo? Did they get forgiveness and were allowed to enter heaven? And if they did get forgiveness, what was the point of Jesus coming to earth to die to atone for our sins? I think that's a tough question. Maybe our experts can handle it. Let's continue our discussion with Mary and Pastor Donald Jordan when we come back.
Hey folks, I'm Bob the Drop from Mount Shasta Springwater. Did you know our spring water originates from glaciers high atop Mount Shasta? As they melt, the water flows through miles of volcanic rock to our springs at the base of the mountain. Pure and natural, Mount Shasta Springwater is naturally the best and the official water of the United States of America. Give us a call today and ask about our special introductory offer. 1-800-922-6227. That's 1-800-922-6227. I highly recommend it.
I'm Kristen, the mobile pet groomer. My van is my office, so I don't have a real street address for deliveries, but I do have a mailbox with...
Robert, I own the UPS store near Kristen. I sign for all her packages and send out a text or email when they arrive. Kristen loves being on her own.
But with Robert's help, I'm not alone.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics.
There are three convenient UPS store locations in Chico on Mangrove, Skyway, and East Avenue. Or you can get more information at theupsstore.com.
To our show.
I'm Scott Olwin.
I'm Ben Taney.
I'm Jared O'Lennon.
I'm Richard Hoyt Jr.
Join us each weekday at 12:30 p.m. for our show, Chico Now.
A half hour designed for the community and brought to you by the community.
Each day, one of our hosts will join with people from organizations throughout the greater Chico area.
We want to let you know what's happening in Chico now.
So join us at 12:30 Monday through Friday here on KKXX for Chico Now.
Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
Ask yourself, what kind of example are you setting for others?
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
The book is Reign of the Watchers. It's written by local author Mary Lervald. It is a novel surrounding the events that happened in Genesis. Probably the quickest way to describe it. You can get it at Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, Christianbook.com. And there are signed copies available now at Kathy's Books in Paradise. Again, the book is Reign of the Watchers. The author is with us, Mary Lervold and Pastor Donald Jordan from Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church. I left the second going into the break talking about we hear what happens to Abraham and all the good people in Genesis who die, And, you know, without having Jesus atone for their sins, where do they go? Do they automatically go into paradise? Are they in heaven? What happened to those people before Jesus came? The good ones, the righteous ones. How did they get to, because they were full of sin. How did they get to heaven, or didn't they get to heaven? Were they in some sort of holding zone?
Jerry, we have examples in the Gospel several times of Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. I think one chapter in the Bible that helps us immensely is Hebrews 11, where it talks about these people, Abraham. It talks about these people who died in faith and so on. And it says they died in faith, which means they trusted in the Lord. They trusted in the coming sacrifice that Jesus would provide. Maybe they didn't fully understand it because they had a limited revelation, but they believed in it and they trusted it. In Genesis, going back to Genesis, it says Abraham believed God and he accounted it to him as righteousness. Abraham was declared righteous, not by his own works, but by the work of God through the coming Christ. Now, yes, there were sacrifices, and they were temporary, however, the final culminating sacrifices on the cross. And that really is the good news, and I think that's what Mary and I would love to share today to the audience and to everybody, this wonderful news in Christ.
But one question, then, why was it necessary for Jesus to actually fulfill his destiny and come down and die on the cross? I mean, if people could still be saved just by believing that it will happen, like the Jews did and like they still do now, why isn't that enough? Why was it necessary for God to fulfill his desire to have Jesus come down and die?
Because that would have had to perpetually gone on and on and on and on. And God, in his wisdom, way before even creation, Ephesians tells us this, planned for our redemption and salvation in his Son. He wanted to show us very clearly his love for creation and our redemption. It was always his plan. Now, where he came up with this idea, I haven't a clue. I don't understand this, really, this mystery. There could have been other ways to be saved. But he said, no, this is the only way. This is the way it's going to happen. And this is what he's revealed to us in Scripture. And that's in the mind of God. And I don't think any man could have conceived of this plan of salvation.
And in Genesis itself, very early on, between Cain and Abel, what happened there when Cain killed Abel? It involved him, the sacrifices that they were making. It can be said that, God says that he did not accept Cain and his sacrifice, but Abel's he did. That was an acceptable sacrifice. Mm-hmm. They sacrificed in those days in anticipation of the sacrifice, the big one, that was going to, take care of sin forever, mm-hmm. once and for all. So it was a prefiguring of what Christ would do. And like Pastor said, and like it says in Hebrews, it's by faith in the promise. And also we stand at a time in history where we really have a wonderful picture of the beginning, before the flood, before Jesus came, when he came, resurrected, the history of the church since then and what's coming. We know he's fulfilled his promises all up to this point. We'd be really off the mark by not believing what he says.
I'm curious about it. This sounds odd. You probably laugh. I mean, how many people populated the earth at that time? And where do dinosaurs fit into this whole thing? I mean, I get this from my kids all the time, and I don't really know the answer.
Well, they're part of God's creation. The evidence is there. We're told in Scripture he made all these animals. Animals become extinct. There's such a thing called the dodo bird that's extinct now. It's not unusual for animals to go extinct.
So during Abraham's time, there were at that point there were probably were dinosaurs, weren't there? Because they extinct after the Great Flood.
Not necessarily. There's evidence that there were dinosaurs after the flood also.
Uh-huh.
The thing is, with archaeological evidence that's found in favor of dinosaurs and man living at the same time, is that it goes against the theory of evolution. And, evolution is a sacred cow in our society, and it's fighting words to uh-huh. come out and say that evolution is not true and fact. Mm-hmm. Our children are taught this in school.
Now explain, we have like 2 minutes. I want to make sure, explain yeah. why it, believing that dinosaurs and man existed at the same time, therefore is a craw for those in the throat of those who support evolution.
Well, it's basically, it's because it would go to show the young Earth theory, which is, you know, we're less than 6,000 years old, the time we've been on this Earth since creation. And evolution, because it's so, it takes so many millions and billions and millions and billions of years to make a universe by accident. Mm-hmm. You know, the probability, because they have to stretch out the years so far just to try to make the probability work. And that's part and parcel of the evolution thing.
But you believe the world is about 6,000 years old?
Correct. Yes,
and so dinosaurs and man were together, you know, in the early stages of the world.
Yes, and possibly after the flood too. There's historical evidence to that, and yes, animals do go extinct. I mean, that has happened.
You know, we only have about a minute. This goes so fast. What we're going to have to do is get you guys back on again and talk about this one topic at a time in Genesis, almost taking it chapter by chapter and or exploring it, because it is so interesting learning this stuff. I mean, I wish I knew more about. I wish I had all the knowledge you two have on this, because it's so fascinating. And plus, you could win a lot of debates with people at dinner parties too. I think that's always nice to do as well, because you have such good information. Tell us how the book is going, Reign of the Watchers.
Well, I've been getting very positive feedback about it, and of course, mine is a fiction, and it includes a lot of the topics and things that I have, you know, that we're talking with here. But of course, in a novel form, and it is encouraging to get positive feedback that people are enjoying the book, and so it's coming along, and hopefully it'll sell even more.
Okay, I hope so too. It's Mary Lervald is the author. Reign of the Watchers. You can get this book at a variety of locations: Barnes and Noble, Amazon.com, ChristianBook.com, and signed copies by Mary available now at Kathy's Books in Paradise. Mary, Pastor Donald Jordan, thanks for being on the show. It goes way too fast, and we have good conversations. Come back again.
Thank you.
All right, thanks so much for listening, everybody. Have a good day.
Holbrook's Clearance Center, the North State's number one furniture liquidators.
Holbrook's Clearance Center sells national name brand furniture at 50 to 75% off retail.
Come in and see unbelievable pricing on dining sets, coffee and table sets, and complete bunk beds.
Holbrook's also carries dressers, recliners, futons, sofa, and sofa love seat combos.
Holbrook's has something comfortable for every room in your home, and we'll sell you the inventory right off the floor.
Holbrook's Clearance Center is everything for your home.
Open 7 days a week.
Hi, folks. I'm Bob the Drop from Mount Shasta Springwater. Did you know our spring water originates from glaciers high atop Mount Shasta? As they melt, the water flows through miles of volcanic rock to our springs at the base of the mountain. Pure and natural. Mount Shasta Springwater is naturally the best and the official water of the United States of America. Give us a call today and ask about our special introductory offer. 1-800-922-6227. That's 1-800-922-6227. I highly recommend it.